reciprocating much that Clay has said. I've known of Clay from around the time that I started regularly preaching. I began to, sort of from 2007, Don mentioned him and mentioned the meeting here. And I read a number of articles by Clay at the time, really appreciated them, listened to some of his messages from time to time, really appreciated them. And we've particularly been listening an awful lot to this last couple of years because COVID and the lockdowns sort of brought about circumstances which meant that we discovered his YouTube channel and began listening. And so we felt like we're very much part of this congregation recently and very blessed and very, very much one in the gospel. It's a great privilege to be able to come from such a far country, thousands of miles away, to a country over here, and to feel like you're one with the people, because we may be from a different nation on the earth, but we are citizens of the same heavenly country. And wherever you find the children of God, the true children of God, who share the same Lord, the same truth, the same gospel, the same spirit, the same life, you're one. So it's a great privilege to be here, and I'm very very thankful for Clay's invite to preach, although as we told him, we will quite happily come over and listen to him for our visit. So we've sort of negotiated a bit of half and half. Before we come to the Word of God, shall we come to the Lord in prayer briefly? O Lord God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast gathered a people from the four corners of the earth, a people who were children of wrath, even as others, a people who were wretched sinners, rebels against Thee, a people who hated Thee when Thou didst set Thy love upon them, a people who in their hearts crucified Thy Son and put him to death, but a people whom thou loved from all eternity, a people whom thou purposed to save. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast saved every one whom thou chose in eternity. Christ came and suffered and died for every one the Father gave him. He bore their sins. He was made sin in their place. He gave up the ghost, and he cried out in the end, "It is finished," having wrought their salvation for those that could not save themselves. O Lord, we thank thee for a gospel of grace, of sovereign grace, a gospel that comes not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. Lord, we thank thee if thou hast brought that gospel unto us in power, and if thou hast caused us to live. But Lord, we pray this day as we meet that we might not hear the words of a man, that we might not hear the letter of the scriptures, but that thou mightest come and meet with us, and that thou wouldst speak from heaven on high by thy Spirit in power. Quicken the dead unto life, break the hard hearts, melt the heart within, and cause us to hear Christ speaking unto our souls. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Lead us unto thee. Build thy church, and bring all glory unto thy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to the very next chapter from which Scott read, he's led me into chapter 24 quite nicely. Really going to focus a bit later in chapter 24, but it is the whole chapter. I won't read all of it, but I will start near the beginning and then move through, following on from what Scott read. So if we read from verse 1 briefly, and then I will announce where we move to. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Move to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 37, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This chapter covers the prophecy of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which came about in 70 AD. Very much a statement that that which was outward of the Jewish religion had been brought to nothing when Christ came and fulfilled all that the temple, the priesthood, the law, the prophets pointed to. He came and he fulfilled it all. And with the coming of the Spirit of God through the gospel, as the disciples, the apostles went forth to preach it, all that was outward was, as it were, done away with. and the temple was destroyed. A great statement was made to the Jewish priests, scribes, and Pharisees that an outward religion will not save. You must hear the gospel by the Spirit of God. You must hear it in power. You must be given faith. The passage goes on also to speak of the end times and the coming of Christ. Jesus says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, and these are the beginning of sorrows." We live today in tumultuous days, perilous days. Throughout history, since Christ wrote these words, preached these words, there have been wars, there have been pestilences. Nations have risen up against nation. There have been earthquakes throughout. And the children of God at times would think in their generation that is this the time that Christ should come? And we do not know the time when he shall come. But we can say in our day and age, particularly in recent years, that we see the sin of our generation multiply. We see the world in tumult. There is no peace. Nation rises against nation. We've seen warfare break out in Europe this past year. Pestilences. We've been through this COVID pandemic. Earthquakes in diverse places. Wars and rumours of wars. We see people in the same nation rising up one against another. We see the enmity, the hatred. We see the instability in the economy. These are tumultuous days. And not only are they tumultuous for all men, but there are many trials that come upon the believer. The believer is not untouched by these things. The concerns in the world have an effect upon the believer too. Trouble comes upon him. Trial comes upon him. Financial difficulties. Health. Worry about the future. The hatred of others towards him because of the gospel that he believes. Yes, these are tumultuous times. When trouble comes upon us, it can hit us hard. I know many of you have experienced many troubles, many trials. And it's one thing to know of trouble in a sense of seeing it at a distance. It's another thing when it comes upon you personally. It's another thing when you're brought to lose your job or your livelihood, or when you are diagnosed with a terminal illness, or when you experience the hatred and persecution of the world. When it comes close to home, it can break you, it can crush you. I remember well some years ago when our eldest son Benjamin at 18 months old was very ill. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 2 weeks before Joshua was born, and we had to rush in to the hospital. My wife was much like Sarah and nearly about to bring forth a child, and then we had Benjamin ill. and he was rushed into intensive care. And for a week or two, it was quite a tumultuous ride for us. And at the beginning, his life hung in the balance. And when these things come upon you, natural strength won't get you through. Being stoical isn't enough. You need something more. When you're brought where Job was brought, so that everything comes crashing down, so that all the refuges that you could have rested in, naturally speaking, are taken away, when you're wealth is taken away, when your health is taken away, when loved ones are taken from you, when you're left alone, who do you turn to? When even outward religion is taken from you, like the temple here destroyed and taken away, when all that you could turn to outwardly is gone, where do you go? What will keep you? What will keep others with whom you deal? Only one thing. The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Only one refuge exists that will truly lift you up, that will truly sustain you when all other refuge has gone, when there's no strength left in yourself, when you can't even think straight, when there's no man or woman to whom you can turn. Only the gospel can keep you. Christ alone, the faith of Jesus Christ, is what will keep you, what will strengthen you, what will preserve you, what will carry you through. Paul wrote in Galatians, he knew what it was to be brought to nothing. He says in Philippians that all that was gained to him he counted but loss, that he might know Christ. Everything he had he would have removed that he might know Christ. And he says in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. I'm slain, I'm as a dead man. All that I am in the flesh has been destroyed. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ was his refuge. Christ was his life. Christ was his wisdom. Christ was his strength. Christ was his all. Why? Because Christ loved him and gave himself for him. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ was his all. It is this faith, this gospel, this life, which will cause the elect to endure to the end. Further on in the passage in chapter 24 of Matthew, Christ speaks of false Christs arising and people being led away. But he says in verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Who will endure unto the end? Only those who have been crucified with Christ and risen again with him. Only those like Paul who live by the faith of the Son of God. And when the end times come, when we see trouble in the world around us, when we look hoping for the coming of Christ, his return, when we look, what will those days be like? When the famines increase and the pestilences increase and the warfare increases and the hatred towards the people of God and the gospel increases, what will keep us? The gospel, Christ alone. What will those days be like? Christ says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day of his coming, of that day and hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were the days of Noah like? Well, in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, living as though life would continue forever, making merry, seeking riches, seeking pleasure, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until that day that the flood would surely come. Noah had warned them. Noah had preached. The gospel had been made known. But they shut their ears. They shut their minds. They shut their hearts. They said, go away, Noah, we don't care. You're a madman. And the day came when the rain began to fall and the clouds darkened and the storm raged and the floods came upon the world and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Yes, the Lord is returning. And when he returns, this wicked world will be rolled up like a scroll. It will be destroyed with fire. The world will be no more. And Christ will return to separate his people who were brought to faith by his gospel from the wicked who never cared, who never heard, who shut their ears, who went another way and would not and could not believe. The Lord will come in great power. He will take his people, his elect, and lead them into everlasting glory. And he will send the rest into everlasting destruction. Noah warned his generation of a judgment to come. Having been warned of God, he preached unto his generation that a great storm was coming, a great judgment was coming to a wicked generation, and they would not hear. And we preach today the same gospel in the same world to a similar generation. And by nature, none of us can hear. I couldn't. You can't by nature. We don't and we won't. We're taken up with our lives. We're taken up with what we seek, our ambitions, our aims, our desires. We will not hear. But as the days of Noah were, so it shall be. Turn to Genesis with me, and we'll read a little concerning Noah. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32. We read that Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Has the Lord come unto you in the gospel, in the midst of a wicked generation? Has he come unto you as one whose heart is only evil continually? And opened your eyes to see his son crucified in your place? Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? In the eyes of the Lord, when he looks upon you, does he look upon you in judgment and wrath for the sin that you are, the rebel that you are? Or does he look upon you in grace? We read on in the chapter. Verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives, with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. The Lord instructed Noah to build an ark. Told him how to build it, the height, the length, the breadth. He instructed him to bring all the living creatures, two by two, that they with Noah and his house should be saved from the flood that God sent to destroy the old world. Peter spake of this in 2 Peter 2:5 when he says that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. 100 years building the ark, nailing the wood. 100 years between the birth of Shem, Ham and Japheth, Noah was building an ark. 100 years between that time when his children were born until the 600th year when God instructed him to enter the ark. In that 100 years, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. In what sense was he a preacher of righteousness? He was preaching what he heard from the Lord. He was preaching what the Lord taught him. He was declaring unto his generation what the Lord had warned him of, that there was a judgment to come because of the wickedness of mankind. He told them what he was doing, that the Lord had instructed him to build an ark for the saving of his house. In this sense, he preached righteousness. He preached the gospel that God gave him to preach. But he also preached righteousness. He also preached the gospel in type and in figure. What he did, what he built, what happened to him and his household was a wonderful picture of the gospel to his generation and to our generation. Decades went by whilst Noah built the ark. Decades. He took gopher wood and he fashioned out of it this ark, this huge box. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. He built an ark. He took the wood. He cut the wood. He nailed the wood together. Not only was this preaching the gospel to those that beheld, but every day Noah was preaching the gospel to himself. He built an ark out of wood. He nailed the wood together to deliver from judgment to come. In this, God revealed unto him what his Saviour would do for him in generations to come. That Christ, the carpenter, would come and would be nailed to a stake of wood to suffer under the judgment and the wrath of God for Noah's wickedness, Noah's rebellion, Noah's unbelief. I see Noah here, year after year, taking the planks of wood, taking the nails and hammering them together. And every hammer blow was a hammer blow into his own heart, a pointer to what he had done to his Saviour, a pointer to his sins that nailed the Saviour to the cross, a pointer to the judgment and the wrath of God to come because of what Noah had done and Noah was. He saw himself a sinner. He knew that God alone could save him. And every day he built the ark. He preached righteousness to an evil generation. And he preached righteousness to himself. I want to point her to the tree upon which the Saviour died. Appointed to the carpenter who was nailed to a tree of death for the sins of his people. The tree of life, Christ, the Saviour of the world, was nailed to a tree of death. And every day that Noah built the ark, he saw by faith through the ages Christ nailed to a tree for him. How much there is in this account of Noah. However much we see here, we're but skimming upon the surface of the waters. So great are the depths therein. In Hebrews 11, we read again of Noah. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah. It wasn't his building of the ark that saved him. God saved him. But God gave him a heart. God gave him faith to believe his God, to move him to prepare that ark to the saving of his house, by which he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In this, Noah himself is a picture of Christ. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. A picture of Christ's obedience of faith. It was Christ who by faith went to the cross, nailed to the tree, with his people within his heart, safe within God's ark, of which Noah's ark is a picture, safe within Christ himself, he went by faith to the cross in order to bring in the righteousness of God. Not by law, but by faith for his people. He went into the darkness of the judgment of God's wrath. He went into the storm, the tempest, the raining down of God's wrath upon him. He went there by faith, believing that all who were in him, all whom the Father gave him, all his people who were in him, upon his heart, would be taken through the storm, taken through the judgment, taken through the darkness, taken through the fires, taken through the waters, safely to the other side. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. His house being a picture of the house of God. Yes, Noah preached righteousness, and the world passed by. Noah preached the gospel in ways we cannot comprehend. He preached outwardly. He preached in figure. He nailed the wood. What a picture. He built this ark. He warned of the wrath to come. He preached decades after decades, and the world passed by. Who heard? Who listened? Who cared? You're wasting your time, Noah. What are you doing, Noah? What do you mean there's a storm coming? This people had never seen rain. They'd never seen floods. They thought he was a madman. You're wasting your time, Noah. You're wasting your time preaching unto us, Noah. You're wasting your time, Clay. Why are you preaching these things? Nobody cares. You're wasting your time, Ian. No one cares. No one's listening. No one cares in our day and age. Where's the promise of Christ coming? Decades go by, generations go by. You're talking about someone from thousands of years ago. Where is he? No one cares. Yet Noah kept building his ark. Noah kept preaching righteousness. Not just by words, but in figure. He kept building that ark with the wood, the nails. He kept declaring the coming judgment of God against sin. He built that ark a great box, not a boat as such. We often see pictures of the ark and imagine it as a boat. It doesn't tell us that in Scripture. It just describes a box, very much like the Ark of the Covenant. This is a box to deliver through judgment. The Ark of the Covenant was a box. It had a mercy seat upon it. It had the tablets of the law within it. It spake of the wrath of God and the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, upon which the mercy seat was sprinkled with blood. Pointing to the blood of Christ, the priest sprinkled the blood upon it. That ark was covered in blood. The ark that Noah built was pitched within and without. It was made watertight with pitch, but that pitch is a picture of the blood of Christ on the outside of the ark to cover from all sin and judgment. And also on the inside, applied to those within. Yes, he built his ark. And the world passed by. Do you pass by? When you come to hear the gospel, does it wash over you? Is it nothing to you? You hear the words, you know the facts, you know of sin, you know of judgment, you know that Christ died, but it's all just words. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? When someone preaches Christ to you, and you hear of his suffering, you hear of what he endured, you hear of how he was hated, you hear his cries upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Whose sorrow is like unto my sorrow? Do you hear of it? And is it nothing to you? Do you pass by? This generation of Noahs, they passed by. The gospel was there before them. They had no excuse. And they passed by. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard it often? Do you pass by each and every time you hear it? Or has God opened your heart to see what the nails did to his son? What the nails of your sin did to his son? What the nails of your unbelief did to his son? What the nails of your apathy did to his son? The world passed by. Noah's sons were born when Noah was 500 years old. Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He went into the ark when he was 600 years old. These sons, with their wives in the future, grew up watching their father building this ark. Decade after decade, they watched their father build an ark for the saving of his house. They watched this house built before them. In figure, this is the people of God, the children of God, beholding Christ building his church through the gospel. They grow beholding him. They hear him preaching his gospel. They hear of Christ and his salvation. They see him crucified. They see the church built from wood and nails, pitched within and without with the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They see the church, of which we read in Ephesians that this church is built from all the elect, taken from all nations, Jews and Gentiles, those who are at enmity one with another and with God. They are saved and delivered and united, and they are fitly framed together, arrayed, built up together into a glorious church in which the Son of God dwells. These sons saw the church built through the gospel in figure. They also watched the world pass by, and they saw the hatred, the scorn, the derision, and the mockery of their father. They heard him preach righteousness. They saw him preach righteousness in the building of the ark, and they saw the world pass by. And they too would have passed by. I'm sure as they grew up, they laughed at what their father was doing. What are you doing? Why do you build this? The world is laughing at us, Father. What are we doing here? But in time, they came to know the same grace that God set upon Noah. For Noah and his house were saved by grace. Yes, the world passed by, but eight were saved. Eight were saved. Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. Noah and seven others. One man, Noah, and his house of seven. Again, a picture of the church. Christ and his perfect bride. Seven, the number of perfection. Christ, pictured by Noah, with his sevenfold perfected church, his bride and her offspring. They were taken and they were placed in the ark. Also a picture of Christ. And in Genesis 7:16, we read that God shut the door. God took Noah. God took his people. God wed them together. God placed them in an ark to the saving of their souls. When Noah was 600 years old, his sons were born at 500 years old. He entered into the ark to go into eternal rest, delivered through the wrath of God, brought forth into a new world at 600 years old. These numbers are not just passing ages. The 500 years and the 600 years are clear references to the days of creation. Six is the number of man because man was created on the sixth day. But it is also the number of days it took God to create the world. And after 6 days of labor, God rested from all that he had created, all that he had done, and rested forever. Noah, after working all this time, at 600 years old, as it were after the sixth day of labor, was taken and entered into rest. His labor was over. His labor of faith was over. And God brought him into his Sabbath rest. Note also that the sons were born at 500 years. The ark was made by 600 years. This alludes to the days of creation, the fifth and the sixth day of creation. On the fifth and the sixth days, God created all the living creatures. He created the fowls of the air, the creatures of the sea on the fifth day. Then on the sixth day, he created all the living creatures upon the earth. And then he created man, male and female. He created Adam and took his bride from his side and brought her to him. And so when God would save his people, he comes and he takes the man and his wife. The man and the seven, Christ and his church, he takes them both together, and he also brings all the living creatures into the ark, because all that God created, all that was in his mind and his thoughts from the days of creation, from the fifth and sixth day, he would deliver, he would save. And he would bring through the storm to come. All the creatures were brought into the ark. The bride was in the ark, as it were, in a deep sleep. Adam was put into a deep sleep, and the bride was taken out of his side and brought through unto him. So in the ark they are brought through the other side of the darkness and judgment of the wrath of God. Noah, his wife, three sons, three wives, brought through the judgment, brought through the dark skies of the storm, brought through the thundering rain, the clapping thunder, brought through the burning wrath of God, brought through darkness, three sons and three wives pointing in figure to the 3 hours of darkness that Christ hung upon the cross. That ark of God, judged upon the cross, his people within, bringing them safely into everlasting rest. Oh, what a storm Noah endured. But oh, what a storm Christ endured for him. That ark was a picture of his Saviour. His Saviour. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord put him in the ark. Put him in Christ. He didn't choose to. The world passed by. He'd have passed by. You'd pass by. I'd pass by. But God showed him grace. And if God shows you and I grace, he will take us and he will place us in his Son Christ. He will put us in that ark and he will shut the door. And we will be surrounded by that wood, pitched within and without, covered in the blood of the Son of God, brought through the wrath of God, brought through death, brought through hell, in Christ, to the other side, where there is life forevermore. Forevermore. As in the days of Noah, so today. It's the same gospel we preach today that saved Noah. It's the same gospel of which Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It's the same righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ which will bring us through the storm of God's wrath. The very same. And we need to hear the very same. We need to hear it every day. And we need to hear it in power by the Spirit of God. As in Noah's day, so today, so we preach this gospel. Why do you keep preaching, Noah? Nobody's listening, because this is the way God will save. And this is the way God has saved. Why are you preaching this today when the world that doesn't care? Because this is the way God will save. This is the only way. And he does. Praise God. He's wrought a finished salvation, a glorious salvation, a perfect salvation through his Son. He's built a perfect ark to the saving of his house. An ark that will save everyone chosen of God, that will bring everyone through the storm, through the judgment, through the righteous judgment of God, unto life in Christ alone. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you? We preach this gospel incessantly, boldly, firmly, without compromise, because nothing but the gospel of free and sovereign grace will save a sinner from the wrath to come. Oh, don't close your ears to the gospel. You young people brought to church by parents or friends, don't close your ears to the gospel just because all around you laugh and scoff and mock. Just because you go out into the world, into your school or your workplace, and they sneer and laugh. They did the same in Noah's day and everyone perished. But Noah's sons heard their father preach, and God opened their hearts and they believed. Listen to the gospel whenever it comes, wherever it comes. Hear and pray that God would have mercy upon you, the sinner, who needs salvation. Has God led you to this refuge, to Christ? Has he shut you in his ark? Has he placed you safely in his Son? Has he shown you grace, as in the days of Noah? Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ian. Beautiful picture of how we'll be brought through this wilderness, just like Noah, by God's grace, by Christ working in his heart. Thinking about